So first of all, I would like to thank the organizer giving this very nice opportunity to talk about the strong coupling effect. So here is my collaborator, Professor Patrick Lee. And actually, the work has been published in these articles. So before starting, let me put some names. We have been talking about the confinement and strong coupling effects in the context of cuprates. This is a random number, random order. So the initiator is at the bottom. So we had about the phase diagram in the previous speak. So this is a phase diagram proposed by Kempe and Fischer. So basically, he claims that in this analog phase, so every you have the spin chair separation everywhere, even in the undoped case, so-called the AF star. So our phase diagram is quite different from there, saying that we have some kind of quark plasma spin chair separated state for the normal state. But in the ordered state, like anti-ferromagnet, we have a confinement. And the most important is the D-wave superconductivity here. So this is characterized by the onset of the confinement together with the Bose condensation, so which I will describe in detail. So the most important issues in the theory of a high-PC cuprate is the combination between the Bose condensations, the charge, and the confinement, I mean the strong coupling effect of the gauge view. So this issue has been addressed for the pure gauge model for the normal state several years ago. But actually, the most important and difficult issue is the confinement problem in the presence of the matter fields, I mean the fermion and boson. And we invent some new method to study the instanton effect in the presence of this matter field. And using this, we analyze the confinement and Bose condensation problem in the spin-on-holon gauge field systems. So that is the purpose of this talk. So let me introduce a very old work of mine, which describes the phase diagram of the pure gauge model after integrating over the fermion and boson. So this fermion and boson contributes to the dissipative term for the action of the gauge field. So because of this patience, so the coherent motion of the gauge flux is suppressed. So that's why this dissipative term is so effective to suppress the confinement. So this is a general phase diagram. So this sigma G is the gauge conductance of the bosons and fermions. And beyond some critical value of this conductance, this is of the order of E square over A. We have a deconfinement phase in this large range of parameters. So this is for the normal state. But of course, we have to include the fermion and bosons more explicitly. So in order to study that problem, let me start with a very simple and toy model. So which is the so-called the Higgs, Abelian Higgs model in the 2 plus 1 dimension. This corresponds to the unit charge boson with the integer filling. So actually the phase diagram is rather boring. So all the phase is confinement. But let me explain why I get this phase diagram. So this problem can be mapped to the dual problem. So the duality is the most effective method to analyze this strong coupling effect. So the idea is to exchange the role of the gauge flux and the boson interacting. So the boson current is, in this picture is represented by the gauge field C, by the rotation of C. So on the other hand, the vortex represented by this vortex current operator is expressed in terms of the field operator psi v and psi v dagger. So in this picture, the instanton and vortex expressed in a compact way. So here, the important role of the instanton is the source and drain of the vortex for this Higgs field. So then we have, so we do not conserve the number of vortices due to the instanton effect. So that one is represented by the simple term like this. So G is the fugacity of the instanton. And because of the sinking source, then we have this linear term in the vortex field. So because this is a linear term, so which always wins for the quadratic term, and this, due to this instanton term, we always have the condensation of the vortices. So that is because the phase diagram, in the phase diagram, we have always the confinement. So let me remind you that this G term, the instanton term, is the confinement, because once we have, if I have this phase fixing term, so when I introduce the gauge charge, it corresponds to the vortex of this vortex field. So we have a phase winding over 2 pi. But because of this phase fixing, so that effect is confined within a string. So then when I put the positive and negative gauge charges, this gauge charges into the system, so this discharge regime costs the energy proportional to the separation between the two gauge charges. So this phase fixing term represents the confinement. So this, up to now, we have analyzed a toy model. So let me describe a more realistic case. So first, I consider the undoped case to consider the fermion pairing and gauge field. So now the other parameter, I mean the Higgs field, corresponds to the pairing of the two phenons, and this has a gauge charge 2e. So then, in the limit of a strong coupling k, so we have the Ising degrees of freedom. So then, in this phase diagram, so in the upper line, we have the G2 Ising gauge model. So this corresponds to the G2 symmetry discussed by the previous speakers. But in our formalism, in the case of charge 2e, the vortices become half, I mean the pi flux. But the, this instanton emits 2 pi gauge flux. So that means this instanton term creates two vortices. So then the action contains this quadratic term, which is different from the previous charge E boson. So now, because of this, we have two possibilities. One is that when the coupling constant is strong, we have a condensation of the single vortex field. So then this corresponds to the confinement as before. So on the other hand, only the pair of the vortices is condensed. Then the vortices of this vortex become half. That corresponds to the gauge charge. So because the gauge charge has a quantized to be E, then if you put the test charge positive and negative into the system, it is screened by the gauge charge minus and positive, minus and plus. Then there is no confining force between the two charges. This corresponds to the deconfinement in this picture. Now, this is for the undoped case, but we believe that we are in the rather strong coupling regime for the undoped system, so we believe that the system is in this confinement regime. That is the usual antiferromagnet magnet without any spin charge separation. So let me go to the doped case. So in this case, the boson density is represented by the external magnetic field applied to this dual superconductor. Then this is competing with the, this instanton phase lock term. So now, in the doped case, we have to add the boson field, B and B dagger, and also it's a dual vortex field, psi B. So now the instanton term becomes a third order term, even here. And as I showed, some external magnetic field is applied to this dual field to the boson. So there is no Bose condensation from this vortex field. So that's why this term does not make any finite expectation values of this vortex for the parameter.
So why don't you have just a psi squared term? You have the other limit?
Yeah, because the boson vortex and the spin-off fairing vortex all couple to the gauge field. So once you have this instanton, so you have to introduce vortices to both of the fields.
Assuming a confinement
routine. Yeah. So another comment here is that now if I write this field in terms of the phase variable, then this instanton term becomes the cosine term given here. So then the model, effective model to this phase field is the quantum sine Gordon model, which shows a crystallic solid phase transition, which is a confinement-deconfinement phase transition. So this is actually equivalent to the phase transition I discussed in the...
How many dimensions is it?
Sorry?
How many dimensions is it? 2 plus 1?
2 plus 1. But at finite temperature. Yeah.
It's not 0 temperature.
Yeah, but even at 0 temperature, if you change the dissipation, you have a crystallic solid transition.
No, there is no phase transition.
But if I put the dissipative term, it's possible. Okay. So then another important conclusion here is once this term, Z term, becomes relevant, that means the confinement occurs. So immediately the Bose condensation of the composite particles of the half vortex of this vortex field and also the horon occurs. So this is a U1 gauge single object. And actually, without such a coupling to the gauge field, the condensation temperature for the bosons is much higher than the real superconducting TC. So that's why the boson condensation is prevented by the gauge field coupling. So once it becomes U1 gauge single neutral, so immediately it goes from there. So that is a mechanism for the superconductivity. Okay, now let me turn to the quasi particle in the superconducting state. So there are two experimental constraints for the quasi particle in the superconducting state. So the one is the x proportional weight of the quasi particle P only below TC. But this is actually easily explained in the Bose condensation, similar to the previous talk. But the more subtle thing is quasi particle current, which is appearing in the decrease of the rho S as a function of temperature. So this has been analyzed by Wang and Li, and they discussed the quasi particle current is unrenormalized. This E times the Perron velocity. So this issue is not yet analyzed in detail, but the only comment I have at the moment is because we now have the gauge singlet bosons and fermions, so Yoffe-Larkin backflow effect is missing. So this backflow effect gives X proportional reductions of the quasi particle current. So let me conclude. So in our picture, the normal state is a Quark plasma phase where the Z term is irrelevant in the spin-tight separation occurs. But once the confinement occurs, the U1 singlet bosons, which is a bound state of the half vortex and the horon, immediately condense. So this is a superconducting transition. So both condensation and confinement picture can explain the quasi particle peak of the Alpes, but the quasi particle current is still to be studied. But all the above occurs in the intermediate or strong coupling regimes of the E1 theory, and where the thin charge separated antiferromagnetic star is unlikely. So we believe that in the ordered state, spin and charge are confined. Thank you for your attention.
We have plenty of time for discussion. Yes.
So a couple of comments. Actually, the first question is addressed to Martin, if you do have time for this. In the action that you showed, you have effectively a Z2-gauge theory coupled to charge, and the somatophields carry that the Z2-gauge charge. Now, the same comment that he showed here, this is the well-known Venn diagram, applies here too, and in the sense that there is no global distinction between what you call the confined case and the deconfined case. There may be an isolated critical point, but there is no global, there is no phase transition.
There is a topological.
Not in this case, because a dynamical matter field carries a fundamental charge.
Even
good
dynamical matter
field. Not if it carries a fundamental charge.
Those
things
didn't see the difference between
the kind of thing for a bullet. But if they carry the fundamental charge, that's not possible. You just have a secret experience.
Even
with
an ambiguity,
look, the issue is the following. Take a partition function. You can show that the partition function is analytic in relation to those from 1 to 6. That's essentially the same comment applies actually to the general problem. I mean, it's a general issue with most gauge theory approaches here, and one tries to confine condensatory charge one condensate. And then you have the same problem, that there is no global distinction, which is apparent only in perturbation theory, but once you go beyond perturbation theory, you see that the whole thing evaporates.
But
what
if all the molecules have a gap, which is what I think.
It's not a question of a gap, it's a question, once the excitations are there, you will always pull a pair from the vacuum and you will spin the loop. There is no observable you can write that will distinguish them from one thing from the other.
Yeah, can I reply? Let me reply. Actually, I think I can distinguish between the Higgs phase and the confinement phase. If you look at the propagator, with charge one field.
It's impossible. The partition function is analytic.
Yeah, so that's why I believe that.
You take a partition function and still balance. Look, I wrote the paper 21 years
ago. Yeah, I know. Sorry.
And you can prove that the partition function is analytic. That's the end of the story.
I think I have the comment on that. So that's why I think the phase diagram is singular only below this line.
Right.
So everything is confined. So there is no Higgs phenomenon.
That's Higgs point transition.
Yeah, this is the only one. But I want to characterize this in terms of the vortex condensation below this point. And everything is the confined.
It's another language, but if you just simply write down that partition function.
Yes.
As a power series expansion, you can prove that it's analytic in a region that goes from the so-called condensed state to the confined state.
Yeah.
You can go around there pretty much as you go around the critical point in water.
I guess this is like a...
That's not the action that I wrote down. Right?
Well, yours has two fields, and the only question whether it
has two phases, and one phase.
The action that Matthew wrote has two fields, one that carries spin and the other one that carries charge, and both of them couple to the same
deep.
They do, yes. Right. But there are two phases that action.
No, but I claim that there are.
I think the analogy to the magnetic system is that this is a temperature and this is a magnetic field. So above some critical temperature, you can continue everywhere. So that is the idea.
Well, you're coming?
Yeah. We're not going to finish this morning, but I want to raise the issue anyway, because it's been bothering me for a very long time, many years. Not why is this model solved correctly or not, but rather, have you made a computational technology, or have you had some deep physical insight into the state? And if you have deep physical insight into a new state of matter, why, and what is it? Discussion session.
Right. Since you have the hand all the time, the viewers will be off.
I just wanted to say that there is a different strain change recombination mechanism that was proposed in 1992, where there will be two charges here. And this is based on the problem that in normal state itself, there's considerable spin charge recombination. In other words, in normal state is weakly spin charge separated state in two dimensions. It's toward the kinematic energy. It is characterized by paired spinons. And once you have pairing of spinons, they automatically guarantee a pairing of holes. But that's not where the energy comes from. Once they have a pair, they will combine. The recombination, that is the electron and the Cooper pairs are both collective objects of spinons and holes. And that basically answers most of the question raised by in other words, the question is that whether in the superconducting state there is spin charge separation. I'm saying the superconducting state at T equal to zero, spin charge are bound. But if it goes to TC, they must break up into spin charge separation. Spinons are both pairs. And it also removes the TC, the shape of the TC curve, as well as symmetry, connects with the spin gap and the half tilt. The fact that there are spinons are there at half tilt.
Okay.
These are all connected together.
Okay. Since the problem is so profound and deep and interesting, I think there will be a lot of discussion and
several discussion sessions will be needed for this. Okay, let's thank the speaker.